and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I am joined by Mr. Spooner today.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, that was a sexy growl from Mr.
Spooner. Hello.
Today we're going to talk about, sort of expand on something we talked about before, which is movies. And we're going to talk about how to game a particular movie genre, if you were so inspired, if you'd stayed up late and or maybe come home from the pub and you're going, oh, what's on telly? And you found Clint Eastwood and you went, oh, I'll just watch a bit of Clint. And then 2 hours later, when he'd gunned everyone down, you went, oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, westerns.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully one of a series that we might get around to doing, if ever Skype works properly. But yeah, starting with westerns. As we said the last time I was on talking about movies, quite often, you know, you'll watch a really good film or you'll find a good rule set or a good range of figures and want inspiration. So it's that sort of crossover between the muse that gives you inspiration to game within a particular genre.
Yeah. So, top three westerns, Mr. Spoons.
Oh, well, without doubt, my favourite western of all time is Once Upon a Time in the West, Sergio Leone film with Charles Bronson, 3 hours long. It's the one with the guy with the harmonica, which at its root is just basically a revenge movie. Everybody else likes The Good, the Bad and the Ugly more, but they're all wrong.
I'll go in the wrong then, because that's on my top three.
One that I'm massively fond of that is kind of a bit paper thin is Silverado, which is just a brilliant fun film.
And it's got Kevin Costner.
It's the one with Kevin Costner, Kevin Kline, Carradine, and Danny Glover.
Right.
Which is a great kind of almost a buddy movie in the way of things like El Dorado and some of the later John Wayne films. But it's just bloody good fun. And Tombstone, of course, the Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer version. Those would probably be my top three.
Okay, Tombstone is on my three.
Yeah.
I would have The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
And then it's actually a toss-up, mm-hmm. because it's a toss-up between the same movie, but it's a toss-up between two different versions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's True Grit.
Oh, yeah.
And I really like the original version.
Yeah.
I think it's probably John Wayne's best movie.
Yeah.
But I really like the remake as well.
Love.
And the remake has something about it that S doesn't like westerns. And even she sat down and watched that.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my three.
Mm. So, you know, a good range between us. And there are obviously some greats that people will be screaming at us saying, oh, what about Unforgiven? And, oh, Outlaw Josie Wells. That should have been my top three.
I hate Unforgiven.
Yeah, Unforgiven was all right, but Outlaw Josie Wells is brilliant. I will have to displace Silverado for Outlaw Josie Wells.
Okay, see, I was torn with Pale Rider.
Yeah.
But we could do that for 15 minutes.
Yeah, because...
what about that? Ooh.
Yes. So anyway, there are loads of great... The point is, there are loads and loads of great films out there that cover kind of all sorts of scenario ideas, if you like, from a war games perspective.
Yeah, and I just have to say for a friend of mine that Tombstone is infinitely superior to Wyatt Earp.
Oh, God, by a quantum leap.
So...
Yes.
Okay, so we've come in from the pub. We've watched our western. We think, oh, that looks like it will make a good game.
Rules.
What rules can we play?
Yeah, rules. Rules is always the tricky bit. The ones that I've played probably the most would be the Legends of the Old West, the set that came out of Warhammer Historical before it died. There were some supplements that came out with that afterwards as well that covered kind of frontiers. Gaming and planes gaming against the Indians, and then there was a showdown version that came out later which worked more on kind of gunfights.
Right, that's the one that's very similar to Mordheim Necromunda type thing. So there's typical sort of Warhammer mechanics, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it you can expand your gang and
yeah.
get abilities and you find special six shooters and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're a great one for if you've got a group of you in a club, I think, that wants to not just play potentially a pickup game once every 6 months, but actually wants to play on a regular basis and kind of develop your gangs out much as you would with Mordheim and Necromunda, because, you know, you get injuries, you could lose an eye, you gain a limp and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're a great one if you want to pick something up, I think, for a bit more longevity in a club setting.
Probably stuck with eBay for getting those now, I would have thought.
Yeah, they're definitely out of print now with Warhammer Historical Dime, but they do come up with fairly regular basis on eBay at probably what was half to 70% of the retail price when they were first released. But they are a good set of rules.
Sort of a tenner-ish.
Yeah, sort of between 10 and 15 quid sort of for the base rules. And you need the base rules, I think, to work the supplements. You need that first.
Yeah, and it is a typical Games Workshop book of that period, and it's what, 280 pages and
yeah.
Soft bound
full
and
color.
Lots of color and stuff. Yeah. It's a good set of rules. I played a few games with that one. It's quite a lot of fun. But if you've played Mordheim or Necromunda, then you know what you're getting into. It's cowboys in the same setting with a few modifications.
Yeah. Dead Man's Hand, which is one I know that you've bought, but I don't think we've played yet.
Yep, I have that. The rules are very interesting. It's very as you say, I haven't played it. It's very cinematic, and it's quick as well. They actually recommend that you play in a gaming session. You play three games,
right?
But it's also set up in sort of scenes. So each individual encounter is a scene from an overall thing. So,
oh, cool.
You're effectively playing multiple games between the same two players.
Yeah.
Over the course of an evening to get to your final result rather than, you know, a straight one-to-one, two-hour battle.
Yeah. So almost an act one, two, and three kind of thing going on.
Almost like that. Has an interesting card-based system, lots of tokens, but the rule book is... it's a thin rule book. I mean, it's about the size of a saga.
I was about to say, I thought it was about saga size, wasn't it?
Yeah, so 64 pages or something. And of course, it's got all your gang creation rules in there. Rather than me go, you go, it's individual model activation.
Right.
Which is one of the downsides to Legends of the Wild West, isn't
yeah.
it? Because it's all of my guys get a shot and then
yeah.
you get a shot.
Rules with no name, I think, which are in its current iteration a Foundry production.
Yep. That was actually the first game that I ever played that was based around a card deck.
Mm.
It's based on a straight set of playing cards. I think the last time I looked at the rule set, it was three sides of A4.
Yeah, I seem to remember, and because I don't know, it was a development of the same rules, but playing a game called Rules with No Name years and years and years and years ago. So whether it's just a convenient title based on, you know, the kind of the film backgrounds, but I remember them being a very simplistic set of rules back then, but it's now a full-blown kind of Foundry rulebook from what I understand.
Right, so that's there. You can get those from Foundry.
I know there's a rule set in America called Gutshot, which apparently is very popular, but I know nothing about that one.
All right, I haven't come across that either. There was a new one that I came across the other day as we were thinking about doing this show. Something came across. Warlord Games have released a version called Wild West Chronicles.
Yeah,
which is. It's from the guys who made the Operation Squad game, which is a rule system. A couple of Italian guys, and I must admit, they do have spaghetti westing sounding names. Massimo Torriani and Valentino Del Castello.
Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, there's some... they are in the credits of every Sergio Leone Western, aren't they?
Yeah. So I know nothing about it other than it's just been released, but... It's full colour and stuff. You can get it from Warlord Games. It's 20 quid.
Yeah. Well, which means if it's from Warlord, it's going to have some decent backing and decent distribution. So I'd expect to see it around a lot from what I've read about the Operation Squad rules, they were very accessible to kind of new starters and almost drawn, almost made to drive in the kind of model makers almost, because they were sold as part of an Italieri set, I believe.
Yeah, it's the rules. It's one of these games that don't use tables to look up results, but basically it's a sort of an opposed dice roll type mechanic. It's D6s, and the rules come with, you know, the typical army lists that you get. I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, most of the games, you're playing a posse, and it tends to, the posses, they sort of vary slightly, but they tend to be bandits or desperados or outlaws or whatever they are.
Yeah.
This Wild West Chronicles has Texas Rangers and lawmen, which is interesting. Often you just have lawmen and maybe cavalry, and you know, 7th Cavalry or something. Townspeople and, of course, Indians.
Yeah.
For, you know, much butchering.
Scalping must ensue.
That's right. And then the other one, which isn't really a straight Wild West game, but does have some nice terrain and things in it, is Wild West Exodus.
Yes, which I know people were jumping in and out of the Kickstarter on a lot. I never really did commit because I wasn't convinced by it at the time the sort of Kickstarter was running. But having seen some of the miniatures that have come out, it looks good fun. It's a kind of a Wild West slash sci-fi crossover, so it may well appeal to those big fans of things like Serenity slash Firefly, which was basically the Wild West in space.
Yep.
And yeah, it looks quite good fun.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was saying on Twitter the other day, I think it's quite pricey, but the figures are certainly nice, and you know they you could use them, but there are a massive amount of figure ranges for playing cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We've already sort of touched on the rules that came out of Foundry. There's the old Foundry range that's been going for years and years now, which is quite expansive, although it's hard to pick up kind of individual figures due to the Foundry packaging.
And they're slightly smaller as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they're kind of like the Perry-sized 20, almost in this day and age, kind of 25s opposed to 28s.
Yeah, if anyone's played with the Perry Imperial Romans from Foundry, they're in scale with that. So compared to a modern figure, which, of course, you know, the scale has gone up, they would be quite short.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be dwarfed by, for example, Artisan, who are another one that's got a good range of Wild West figures, or certainly Black Scorpion, which are really at the top end of the kind of scale creep. Although, in fairness to them, I think they do declare themselves more as a 32mm than a 28.
I think they do. Black Scorpion, that's who my figures are from.
Yeah.
They're all in resin.
Yeah.
Really, really nice sculpts, and they have a big range as well. But I have an all girl gang.
Mm. You're always into the girl on girl stuff, aren't you? I've gone for some Mexican bandits myself, again from Black Scorpion.
So you like Dirty Tramps then?
Yeah, absolutely. but they are a superb sculpts, really nicely cast as well. The Artisan stuff I really like, and there are some kind of film homages, for want of a better term. I know they do a Good, the Bad, and the Ugly set that's got the kind of the three lead characters.
Yep.
And a couple of others. I mean, Black Scorpion do a really nice Tombstone set, which are very much in the vein of the Kurt Russell Tombstone film. Dead Man's Hand that we talked about, they do their own set of figures. They do gangs that come kind of almost in the video case type boxes.
Yep. Just, I mean, for people who aren't familiar with a lot of these ranges, you need to look at them because it's often the case that you can't mix and match from across manufacturers, because especially with, you know, people like Artisan tend to make very chunky figures. And when you've got them with other Artisan miniatures, they look brilliant. But if you put them with other models from other ranges, say if you put them with the Black Scorpion ones, which are more elfin.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, they'll stand out quite obviously as being different ranges.
And they'll certainly tower over the old Foundry Wild West range by probably a full head's height.
Yeah.
I think Crusader Miniatures as well, who, I mean, both, I think Artisan and Crusader both are sculptors that came out of, if not Games Workshop, certainly out of the Wargames Foundry stable.
They came out of Foundry because it's Mike Sala and
I can't remember who.
I can't remember the name of the other guy.
Yeah, but they.
Blimey, the timer's just gone.
Really, already?
Yeah, we haven't talked about Terrain.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just run a couple of extra minutes.
Okay, we'll go quickly then.
Terrain. Masses of laser cut stuff, yeah. Obviously.
Terrissa, foreground, battle, front, battlegrounds. All yeah. Really nice laser cut stuff.
There's a new American company that I've come across called Knuckle Duster.
Yeah.
They're out of the Illinois area. They make a gorgeous corner saloon building with fully detailed interior and stuff.
And if you want a different route to go, there are a lot of printable terrains out there. There's Whitewash City, which is kind of unique because it's all done in black and white, which is kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, that's probably the most famous one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You download the PDFs and you print it either to paper and glue onto card or onto cardstock and then just build it.
Yeah, and I think Worldworks Games have a Western set as well, which is kind of full colour and a bit more spanky. But there is a certain charm around the Whitewash City stuff, I think.
I've seen one game, I think it was a Salute a few years ago, that was just played on the Whitewash City stuff. And they hadn't coloured it in at all, so it was just the black and white stuff. But they painted the miniatures that they were using in a sepia colour scheme.
Oh, that's clever.
So it was sepia miniatures against black and white buildings. It was a very, very cool looking game.
I bet that was really nice.
That's Wild West Gaming.
Yes.
Basically, there's a ton of rules, a ton of figures, and a ton of terrain.
Yes. You just got to... I mean, the best recommendation I've got is hit sites like TMP, which is the miniatures page, and Tabletop Gaming News, and stick Wild West in their search engines, and you will get a wealth of stuff. For those that aren't familiar with a lot of the stuff we've spoken about today.
Yeah. The one certainly that I'm going to be playing in the future, though, I mean, in the short term at least, is Dead Man's Hand.
Yep, and I know that's one that we've discussed, and I'm looking forward to giving that one a run out as well.
Yep. So, I've been Mike.
And I've been Matt.
Speak to you next time. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.